Chapter 7. The rest of dinner was almost silent, and I could feel Mariah's anxiety levels rise within my spiritual sea. "Hey, you should come out here and eat," I suggested. "It might help you relax."
"I suppose I could try," she agreed.
I started to warn the rest of the room, but Mariah appeared in a flash of blinding white light. She stood next to my chair in her ethereal beauty with her white hair brushing the tops of her sandaled feet, and her pale blue eyes looked over the table while Calvin, Niall, and their women stared at her in complete amazement. "This is Mariah, the spirit of the Sword of Healing," I announced. "She'll be joining us now." Calvin and Niall were stunned as Mariah made her way to the seat next to Naomi. I relaxed a little bit when she finally started to eat, and then another flash of light filled the room.
"Anya!"
Mariah gasped and nearly leapt out of her chair. The woman who appeared next to Nike was nearly as gorgeous as Mariah, though her hair was a light shade of red. She wore similar white robes, and her eyes were the same pale blue. She looked at Nike, and he nodded back. Then she scurried around the table and met Mariah with a hug. The sisters embraced each other tightly for several minutes, and I looked over to see Margaret staring at Anya with an odd expression.
"I'm so happy to see you, dear sister,"
Anya sighed.
"It has been too long."
"It has,"
Mariah agreed with a wide smile. The pair linked arms, and my women made room for Anya to sit next to her sister at the table. They chatted quietly together as they ate, but my attention was drawn back to the sour-faced Margaret. She leaned over to say something to Nike, and I kicked myself as I tuned in my dragon hearing to listen.
"That is the spirit of the sword you carry?"
she whispered. "Yes," Nike confirmed without turning toward her.
"You did not mention her beauty,"
Margaret huffed under her breath. "She can take many forms," he replied, as he finally looked at her. "Why are you upset?"
"I'm not."
His betrothed pouted and took another swig of her wine.
"I merely observed something you'd failed to mention, my lord."
"I didn't find it important," Nike explained with a shrug. "She's my friend, and she helps me in battle."
"Yet your friend seems rather attached to the dragon's spirit,"
Margaret retorted. "Oh, great. She was only boring in public. She was a lunatic in private. I had to get Nike out of this situation before he was completely stuck." "Okay, I think it's about time to get some rest," I declared. "Lord Calvin, do you have somewhere for us to stay?"
"My palace is expensive, Lord Evan," he chuckled. "I'm sure we have room for you and your entourage."
"Great," I replied. "Let's do that." 20 minutes later, Aliona and I laid in a small bed curled up together, partly because we liked to touch, but mostly because there wasn't any room on the bed that seemed just big enough for a single adult.
"You seem stressed,"
Aliona observed as she rubbed the arm I had draped over her side.
"Do you want to talk?"
"Lady isn't exactly what I expected," I replied with a frown. "I know Nike was worried about us coming here, but I didn't realize his dad was a drunken man-whore, and his grandpa was just the sober version. Neither of them gives a shit about possibly having kids with these women, and they just left them to fend for themselves."
"Not everyone cares as deeply about family as you do,"
my wife pointed out in a gentle voice.
"Most harems exist because the man wants to spice things up, not because he truly has feelings for many women. It almost seems silly to call us a harem, since we're more like family."
"We are family," I corrected her. "And I'd never do that to any of you."
"We all know that,"
she assured me, and I could hear the smile in her voice.
"Tomorrow, we'll find out how many women we need to talk to, and we'll just have to work things out from there. For now, you need some sleep."
"You're probably right," I sighed. "And it's probably good practice. I'm sure these won't be the only nobles we come across with harems and multiple baby mamas."
"Exactly,"
Aliona giggled.
"Do you want me to be your baby mama?"
"You're my wife," I scoffed. "On Earth, baby mama is a bit of a slang term and means something completely different, but I'd never do that to someone."
"I know,"
she murmured and snuggled closer.
"I love you."
"Love you too,"
I replied with a yawn. Within a few minutes, we were both sleeping soundly, though my mind still raced with thoughts of noble bloodline kids and the bonding ceremony. The thoughts turned into vivid dreams, and I chased around these faceless children with the ceremonial dagger while I tried to bond with the right one. When I awoke, I was still exhausted, as though I'd been running in real life too, but something else surged underneath the surface. I couldn't quite pinpoint it, and I nearly fell off the bed as I tried to get up without waking Aliona, but she rolled over and blinked her big amethyst eyes when she felt my movement.
"Good morning,"
she murmured. My breath caught in my throat as I looked over her smooth skin with the colorful designs from the stained glass window above us. "Oh, good morning indeed," I growled as I climbed on top of her. About an hour later, and after several rounds of lovemaking that filled her accepting womb with my dragon seed, we got dressed and met the rest of my lovers in the hallway.
"Was your bed stupid small?"
Aaliyah grunted as she pulled the door shut behind her.
"My bed was stupid small. I don't know how anyone could sleep on that thing."
"Mine too,"
Ravi agreed as she tugged her flaming hair back into a braid.
"I have slept in some uncomfortable places growing up in the desert, but that bed is certainly high on my list of the worst ones."
"That's pretty bad," I chuckled.
"It wasn't as awful with someone to cuddle,"
Polina chirped.
"Unless you were the one in the middle,"
Marina argued and pursed her lips at her sister.
"Then one of you can come cuddle with me next time,"
Rebecca decided.
"I would try anything to make that bed better."
My blood rushed south at the thought of my women cuddling together, and I had to tame the urge to mark them all right here as Nike strode down the hall toward us.
"Sorry about the beds," he began with a grimace. "I know they're terrible. I think they're for any of the harem women who don't want to sleep in my grandfather's room for the night."
"Ha ha, so they don't want to sleep there again," I chuckled. "Clever."
"But he doesn't force anyone to be with him, remember?"
Lyca said with obvious sarcasm. "All right, before we go downstairs, we need to figure a few things out," I said, before everyone got worked up. "Is Mariah awake yet?"
"I'm here,"
the spirit chirped, as she and Anya walked out of another room.
"We were just catching up. We didn't sleep at all."
"I'm glad you got to hang out," I smiled at Mariah and Anya, who held hands like schoolgirls as they walked over to join the group. "Now, since Calvin and Niall don't know if they've gotten anyone pregnant, we'll have to go talk to their previous lovers ourselves. How will we know if their children carry the bloodline?"
"That's a good question,"
Mariah mused.
"But I think it's actually going to be fairly easy to discern who has it. You and I should be able to feel the connection, but the real test will be Lord Nikolaus."
"Why me?" Nike asked, and cocked his head to the side.
"You will share the power in your blood,"
the spirit explained, and her sister nodded in agreement.
"Much like I can sense when one of my sisters is near, you will be able to sense a kinship with someone who carries the bloodline power."
"Do I have to try to feel it?" he wondered. "Or will I just know?"
"You should just know, my lord,"
Anya answered.
"It isn't a special ability, like a magical power. It's more like two magnets with a gentle pull."
"Would he be able to tell if they're related, even if they don't have the bloodline power?" I pressed.
"That's more difficult to determine,"
Mariah replied and tapped her finger on her lips.
"I can't say for certain, but it's possible."
I just figured even if they aren't who we need for the ceremony, maybe we can still find other family members," I told Nike. "I mean, I'd want to know if I had brothers or uncles or whatever out there."
"I would be curious as well," he agreed. "So where do we begin?"
"We have to round up all the possible candidates." I grimaced as I remembered Calvin and Niall's careless attitudes about their lovers. "And that alone might take a while, I think."
"Unfortunately, it seems you're right on that," Nike grumbled. "Let's go talk to my foolish family."
He turned on his heels and headed for the stairs to bring us back to the great hall where Calvin lounged on one of the sofas while a human woman fanned him and a tiger demi-human fed him fruit from a basket. Both women wore minimal clothing, and I felt a little uncomfortable when I caught a glimpse of the tigress's bare ass when she bent over to pop a slice of apple in Calvin's mouth.
"Good morning,"
the bald man greeted us as we made our way into the room.
"A fine morning to work on your mission, isn't it?"
"It is," Nike agreed.
"Where's father?" "Oh, he never came back last night after he stormed out,"
Calvin said with a shrug.
Something about needing to fill his hunger. He always says he'll come back after a drink or two, but I'm sure he got caught up with someone.
I thought he said you don't like having him here, I commented, as I crossed my arms over my chest. And it seems neither of you wanted anything to do with each other last night.
He doesn't and we didn't,
Niall announced, as he strolled into the great room from the staircase.
Good morning, Father. Niall, I never heard you come in last night,
Calvin grunted.
Well, you wouldn't have, Niall sneered. Your room was rather loud when I came in. Anyway, I'm here to help my son.
Your son?
The Lord repeated with a smirk.
Sure. Now you want to claim him.
You took him from me the moment the sword chose him,
Nike's father snarled, and took three long strides to loom over Calvin.
Don't make me out to be the monster here.
I cleared my throat to try to defuse the situation, and Calvin turned to look at me with a wary gaze.
As you said, Lord Evan, there are a few family issues that need to be worked out, but that is for another time,
he said, and casually shooed the women away so he could sit up and drink what I thought smelled like coffee with a hint of cinnamon.
Would you all like something to drink?
I'll take what you're having, I replied, as I sat down on the sofa across from him. And make mine a big one. We have a lot to discuss.
I was afraid of that,
Calvin grumbled, as he motioned for Rafferty to go get drinks.
About this kid thing,
Niall said carefully before he took a deep breath and ran his fingers through his graying hair.
I really can't be sure if I have any other ones.
I don't understand, Nike grunted. How can you two be so callous? These are people we're talking about, family.
I know.
His father scowled and crossed his arms over his chest.
I was being careless. I haven't been the same since.
You don't get to use my mother's death as an excuse, Nike hissed. And I saw a rare flash of anger in the noble silver eyes. She would be ashamed of you, both of you. Nike had never talked about his mother, and I was shocked to hear his fierce defense of her now. It was obviously a touchy subject that I wasn't going anywhere near right now.
I know,
Niall said, as he dropped his arms and then his head.
I know.
Listen, we can't change what's been done, I interjected. We just have to go from here. So, Baron, what are we looking at? 30 women to talk to?
I may have exaggerated my, conquests,
Nike's father replied with pursed lips.
It's more likely a much lower number. I should have known I'd outdo my son in all aspects,
Calvin chuckled, until I shot him a silencing glare. Go on, I encouraged Niall.
There are 4 women who I no longer see since we had our, trysts,
he continued without looking toward his father.
I'm not sure if they still live here in Leyte or have moved on.
I started to respond when I heard Rafferty scurry back into the room, and I turned to see he'd brought a tray full of the coffee-scented drinks, though one was nearly triple the size of the others. Ah, perfect, thank you, I said, as I grabbed the large mug from the tray before I turned back to Niall. Do you remember each of them well enough to find them if they're still here? I took a long, slow drink from my mug as he answered, and I was pleasantly surprised that it not only smelled like coffee, but it almost tasted like it, too. Hopefully it would wake me up after my night of restless sleep.
Of course, he murmured. I may have been foolish to avoid using protections, but I wasn't foolish enough to have dozens of possibilities roaming the city.
Niall shot his father a smug look before he sipped his drink and sighed.
My lord, perhaps we could take Baron Niall into the city to find these women and talk to them,
Ravi suggested.
I believe they would be more comfortable talking to a woman,
Polina agreed.
Especially if a man left them high and dry with a child,
Marina muttered. You're probably right, I agreed. If any of them have had a baby, we need them back here at the castle. Nike can check for the connection, and even if it's not there, we can make sure they're doing all right.
Now, I never agreed.
Calvin held up a finger to argue. You can't agree with something I didn't ask, I growled, as I set my mug on the table and met his stare. I will soon be your king, and I decree that you and your son will do right by these women. They may have gone years without the help they were due, but if they have your children, you will be making things right today.
Of course, Niall agreed without hesitation. I'll do whatever I need to.
Thank you, I replied, and looked toward the four women. If you need something, get word to Lyca. We'll be there in an instant.
We will, my lord.
Trina nodded, and they motioned for Niall to lead the way. Then the dryads and Ravi headed out the front door with Nike's father so they could talk to the various women around Lady that he had possibly gotten pregnant. I watched them leave and turned back to face Lord Calvin. He seemed completely oblivious to the situation we faced, and I considered telling him everything about the breach to ensure his cooperation. I was tired of his insistence that he was better than anyone else in the room. Now, your turn, Lord Calvin, I smirked, as I picked up my drink and took another warm sip. How many women have been in your harem?
Ever?
Calvin's eyes widened.
I've probably had at least 100 lovers come and go. I can't keep up with that many anymore, so I only have 30 now.
100?
Aliona gasped and covered her mouth.
Much like Lord Evan, I have a variety of tastes, Calvin chuckled. So I have had many experiences with many types of females. Demi-humans, humans, Pikas, and who knows what else have all entered my chambers.
Pikas are sweet creatures, but I believe they are unable to reproduce with other races,
Aliona murmured.
So those women are out. We may have to talk to who we can and hope for the best, my love.
Oh, gods, I grumbled. Okay, get some paper. It's time to start a list. Calvin grudgingly grabbed the supplies and began to write out the women he could recall from his harem. He remembered most of their first names, but there were a few who had been in and out within only a few days, so some lines on the list were simply descriptions of the women he remembered. It seemed like we were going to be here all day when he finally laid down the quill and groaned.
Ugh. That's all I can remember right now, he muttered. Good luck.
I know you have no idea why this is so important, but it is life or death, I said in a low voice. So if you haven't put your best effort into this, you could be costing people their lives. Do you really want to end with a good luck?
Fine. I'm sure I can think of a few more, Calvin mumbled, as he picked up the quill and wrote a few more names.
And if you know they're still in Lady, mark that down as well, I ordered him. We'll start as close as possible and work our way out.
Yes, my lord,
he agreed, and continued writing on the parchment until it was nearly filled from top to bottom.
Here, this one left when a group of desert bandits left, so I suspect she was with them. The other was from a village near the border, and I heard she returned home.
He handed me the paper, and Aliona and I skimmed over the names and descriptions. There had to be at least 60 women on this list, but thankfully, most of them were marked as still in Lady. Okay, we have a lot of ground to cover, I mused. Maybe we should split up.
Probably, Nike agreed. We just need to establish if any of them have children. We can do that in groups.
Okay, let's divide the women into areas of town, I said, as I looked at Calvin. Do you at least know where each of them lives?
I know where everyone lives, he retorted. This is my city, after all.
Of course. I bit my tongue from continuing with a snappy remark and slid the list back over to him. A few minutes later, Calvin had marked the north, south, east, and west ends of town for each of the women who were in Lady, and I had divided us into four groups. Rebecca and Aaliyah would head south, Naomi and Mariah would go west, Nike and Lyca would go north, and Aliona and I would head for the eastern side of town. We each had about 15 women to find and casually ask about their relationship with Lord Calvin. Sounded like a blast. We headed out of the castle and went our separate ways to interview former harem members. And while I knew it was necessary, I grimaced at the idea of asking these women such personal questions. They had already been wronged by Nike's grandfather, and now we were going to invade their lives again. I thought again about my future hatchling and hybrid child, and I couldn't imagine a life where I didn't know or care if they existed.
You seem frustrated,
Aliona observed once we were away from the palace.
Is it with Lord Calvin?
Yeah, I muttered. I would never ditch you and our child. It's a disgrace to everything a noble is supposed to stand for.
You've been here the least amount of time and still have the highest standard for nobles,
she mused.
It's remarkable, honestly. Did Earth Fathers believe as you do?
The good ones, I replied with a frown. There were always deadbeats who left their kids, but it wasn't anything to be proud of. I'm sure some didn't care, but I don't know. I wouldn't do it, that's all I know.
I know that,
she said in a soothing voice.
You're an amazing man, and we're all lucky to have you and love you.
I smiled as I looped my fingers through hers and led her toward the houses where Lord Calvin said some of his former lovers lived. I rapped on the door of the first house and asked for the first name on our list, Marie. The woman who answered was a rabbit demi-human who looked in her late 50s, and she eyed me with obvious suspicion.
Why are you asking about Marie?
She wondered. My name is Lord Evan of Hatra, I answered with a slight bow. We're searching for a descendant of Lord Calvin, and we're speaking with former members of his harem. The woman gasped, stepped out onto the porch, and shut the door behind her.
My husband doesn't know about that time in my life,
the woman said, just above a whisper.
You can't tell him.
We have no intention of disrupting your life,
Aliona assured her.
We only need to ask if you had a child during that time.
No.
She shook her head vigorously.
Thankfully, I had my first child after my husband and I were married.
Then that's all we need to know, I murmured. Have a good day. Marie dipped her head and rushed back inside without another word.
Oh my,
Aliona sighed.
This might prove more difficult than we imagined.
Yeah, I'm afraid we might get lied to, I admitted.
If you suspect it, I can cast a truth spell. But I don't want to unless we have to.
Deal, I agreed. We continued down the list and knocked on dozens of doors. Most of the women lived where Calvin said they did, and most were also wary of discussing their time with the lord of the city.
Why would I tell you about my children?
A human woman named Elizabeth demanded. We have to find a descendant, I explained for what felt like the 100th time. I understand it's odd, but it's necessary. Please, if one of your children is Lord Calvin's, we need to know.
My oldest daughter,
Elizabeth sighed and ran a hand down her face.
I believe she was his.
You aren't certain?
Aliona wondered.
No,
the woman huffed.
I had a few trysts with Lord Calvin, and with a few other men at the time. I wasn't certain, so I didn't say anything.
How old is she? I asked.
12,
Elizabeth answered, and a tear glistened in her eye.
Must we tell her?
We must at least find out if she carries the bloodline,
Aliona answered in a kind voice.
It is of dire importance. Would you please take her to the castle?
A few seconds passed as the single tear rolled down Elizabeth's cheek, and she took a deep breath and blew it out.
When she gets home from school,
the woman finally agreed.
I will take her.
Thank you,
Aliona said, and grasped Elizabeth's hands.
We will help you with this, okay?
Okay,
Elizabeth murmured. The two exchanged a few more words before Elizabeth returned to her house and shut the door softly. And I clenched my fists as we moved on to the next name on our list. We found two more women with children who could have been Calvin's, and we sent them to the castle as well. When we walked up to the last house on the list, I glanced over to see Ravi, the Dryads, and Nial approach from the other side of the road. What's going on? I wondered.
What are you doing here?
Nial asked in obvious confusion. We're going to talk to... I looked at my list again. Sarahi.
Oh, gods, Nial groaned. He was with her, too.
Wait, are you here working on your lovers? My eyes widened in surprise. You and your dad both slept with this woman?
I guess so,
he muttered, as he stepped forward and knocked on the door.
This should go well.
A tall blonde woman opened the door, took one look at Niall, and slapped him across the face. She was some kind of bird demi-human with golden feathers at the tips of her long hair, and a bird-like nose that she looked ready to use on Niall's eyeballs.
What the hell are you doing here?
She shrieked. I chuckled as she pulled the door open further and crossed her arms over her chest, but my gaze was quickly drawn to her large belly.
Sarahi, come on, Niall begged. You didn't have to do that.
I haven't heard from you in months,
Sarahi exclaimed.
I have a little anger that's been saved up.
Does it have anything to do with that?
Niall pointed at her round stomach.
You don't get to have any say in my child. So if you came here for that, you and your friends can leave.
Actually, we came to ask about your child, I cut in before Niall could respond. It seems we have a more awkward question than I expected.
What?
Sarahi turned her fiery stare onto me.
And who are you?
Lord Evan of Hatra, I replied. And I've been looking for a descendant of Lord Calvin's, while Baron Niall has been looking for his own. Somehow we've arrived at the same location. Can you explain that? The color drained from Sarahi's face, and her brown eyes darted back and forth between Niall and me before she let out a sob.
I'm so sorry,
she moaned and threw herself against Niall.
After you left, I didn't know what to do. I went to the palace to find you and...
And what?
He asked in a stony voice as he stood stiff as a board.
And your father?
Sarahi took a deep breath.
He consoled me, told me what a terrible drunk you were, how you never stayed with a woman for long. One thing led to another, and...
And you had sex with my dad?
Niall whined as he stared at her.
It was only a few times.
A few times? How many is a few?
No more than 10, I swear. I never wanted you to know, and it felt like a satisfying revenge until a few weeks later.
Sarahi looked down at her large belly and rubbed it with a gentle hand.
Why didn't you tell me?
Niall asked in a soft voice.
I would have helped with you, the baby, everything.
Would you?
The fire returned to Sarahi's voice as she wiped her eyes and stood tall again.
You're never in the same place for more than a few days. The whole city knows it. Besides, I didn't know if the baby was yours or Lord Calvin's, and I decided I'd rather not deal with that.
Well, you're going to have to deal with it now, I said, as I tried not to eye-roll. You need to come back to the castle with us.
For what?
She demanded.
That baby could be very important,
Ravi answered with a smile.
And even if it isn't important to our mission, it's important that you and your child are cared for.
Sarahi stared at Ravi for a few seconds as though she had to decide if she believed her.
And then what?
She asked. If the baby is a descendant, I clarified, and Sarahi nodded. Well, we can get into all that later. It's a lot to talk about, and I don't want to waste your time if it won't work, okay?
Okay,
she finally agreed. A few minutes later, she was ready to walk back to the castle with us. Niall was completely silent, and I wondered if he really meant what he said if the child was his. I hoped he did. But it was hard to tell what was really going on with Nike's family.
How very brazen to sleep with two generations,
Trina whispered.
Very.
Marina agreed and rubbed her temples as she frowned in a very human-like gesture. Paulina chuckled.
It's bad enough to not know your child's father, but being unsure which is his father or brother or grandfather?
The dryad made a sour face, and Ravi and the other dryads giggled the whole way back to the palace. Aliona shook her head and smiled, but I knew she was considering how awful things were about to get for Sarahi. When we finally arrived at the castle, I noticed Aaliyah, Rebecca, Mariah, and Naomi had already returned, but the awkwardness resumed instantly as Lord Calvin looked up from his sofa and saw Sarahi and Niall walk in together.
Oh, gods, he mumbled. I was afraid of this. You're a beast, Niall thundered. She came to you looking for me, and you took her into your bed. You did what?
Nike's voice was shaky as he and Laika strode in the door behind us, with another woman and her teenage son behind her.
"It was silly," Calvin said with a dismissive wave. "A foolish mistake. It hasn't happened since."
"She said no more than 10 times, I pointed out, and Nike's dad growled as he glared at the bird woman. Sarahi's face was flushed with embarrassment, and Rafferty guided her to one of the sofas to sit down.
"We still have 2 women we have to talk to,"
Aliona whispered as the family drama continued. "Yeah, but confirming the family children may take some time," I murmured. "Perhaps Nike and I should go talk to the other women. We wouldn't want to bring someone back here if they don't have the bloodline, and Nike will be able to tell for sure."
"I can stay here and test the children,"
my wife agreed.
"What if one of them has the bloodline ability?"
"I think Nike would have mentioned it by now," I pointed out. "He hasn't said anything about the kids he's seen so far, and we only found 1 daughter. I don't think bonding with a 12-year-old would work out so well."
"I believe you're right,"
Aliona said and wrapped a raven hair around her finger.
"Then you should probably take him before the situation escalates."
I turned to see Nike stood between Niall and Calvin as the father and son bellowed insults and clenched their fists.
"Ugh, gods," I groaned
as I walked over and held my hands up.
"All right, that's it. Niall, you go upstairs to wherever you go. Calvin, you stay down here in the dining hall. Your constant bickering is ridiculous."
"Well, he—"
Niall started.
"No,"
I thundered, and took a step toward the Baron. "I have had enough of both of you. Neither of you is right here. There is no winner for your arguments. If you want to win, then do better. Lord Nikolaus and I are going to find the women who left the city. You two are going to stay separated until we get back." They both glared at each other, and I looked over at Laika, who watched them with intent gray eyes and 1 hand on her broadsword.
"Respectfully, Lord Devon, why should we do as you say?" Calvin asked with a slight smirk.
"Because if you don't, respectfully, I will come back here and show you what a dragon can do," I growled. "And Laika will let me know the second one of you breaks my rule."
"Of course, my lord."
Laika nodded and looked back at the 2 men.
"I'll go,"
Niall agreed, as he trudged toward the staircase.
"As will I," Calvin sneered. "But only because I think it's a good idea."
"I'm sure you do," I scoffed.
The 2 men stalked out of the room, and I looked at Nike to see the relief written all over his face.
"Oh, thanks," he muttered. "But our search may have been fruitless. I don't feel the connection."
"Nor do I,"
Mariah agreed. "Then Nike and I will go find the 2 women who left," I said. "We know 1 left with the bandits, so we should search the desert where we know they like to hide out. The other will be a bit further to travel to, so we'll go there after that."
"The rest of us will stay here and do the testing to see which children belong to the Lord and the Baron,"
Aliona explained.
"Even if the child can't be part of the ceremony, they deserve to know who their father is."
"Exactly," I conceded. "Nike, you ready?"
"Ready as ever,"
he confirmed with a nod. "We'll fly over there so we can find the hideout," I decided. "Then we can approach on foot. I don't want them to feel threatened." Nike and I waved to my women and then walked outside in front of the castle.
"You don't think less of me after meeting my family, do you?"
Nike wondered without a warning.
"Nah,"
I replied with a shrug. "You aren't your father or grandfather. You're a better man. If anything, I'm more impressed with you."
"Thank you, my lord."
"You're welcome." I shifted into my dragon form in front of the castle. Several of the citizens were in full view of my transformation, and they gasped and pointed as I took my huge black form. Nike clambered onto my back and grabbed one of the large spikes from my spine, and then I kicked off into the sky. We flew over the city walls and into the afternoon sun in silence. I knew flying provided me with a little wind therapy, and I got the feeling Nike felt the same way, so we didn't speak until we were well into the sands of the desert.
"There!"
Nike said, as he pointed a few 100 yards ahead. There was a caravan of wagons, and each was accompanied by a lookout who walked along next to it. It was exactly the setup we'd seen several times among bandit tribes, and I flew closer to the ground to use the sand dunes as cover for our approach. When we were close enough to walk to them, I landed in the soft, warm sand. Nike slid down my side, and I shifted back into my human form. He started to reach for his sword, but I held out my hand to stop him. "We don't want to scare them," I reminded him. "We only want to talk to this woman, Vala."
"Right," he agreed, and let go of his blade.
"Diplomatic approach."
I nodded, and we crested the dune to walk toward the caravan. I'd hoped that our obvious appearance without any cover or weapons would ease their minds. The gleam of daggers in their hands told me I was dead wrong.